settled them down on the bed after removing their shoes. Hot kisses landed across her forehead, across her cheeks, and down her nose. He tasted, caressed, and touched every inch as he worked his way southward. By this time, his tongue darted along her cleavage. She trembled beneath him.
Dylan.
She threaded her fingers through his hair and held on as he lifted her up and pulled the dress off with a swiftness that ignited her blood. She smiled and claimed his mouth, allowing the need in her free rein. He was hers. Dylan cupped her breasts, stroking along the outside until tiny goosebumps formed along her skin. Her nipples hardened beneath his fingers, heat suffused the achy buds. A gasp escaped her parted lips as he sucked first one, then the other into his mouth. Pleasure danced along her skin wherever he touched. Tiny bursts of searing heat sparked and imploded within her, pulling between her legs. By the time he removed the dress completely, her entire body burned with his touch. Anticipation hummed in her veins, a pulsating presence in her, as he rose from the bed and removed his pants. He paused, as if testing her response. She reached out and dragged the boxer briefs down, exposing his hard cock. She grasped it with her good hand and pumped a couple times. Before he could do more than groan, she closed her eyes and wrapped her lips around the tip, licking the head and along the back. Her pulse quickened when he growled and grabbed her head. His hips pumped forward, surging him deeper into her mouth. She guided his thick, long length with her hand as she took what she could of him deep into her mouth. Oral sex hadn't ever been something she enjoyed, but it was different with Dylan. His entire body trembled, flexed from the effort he expended to give her slow. Her hand roamed, wandering along the washboard plane of his stomach, down his thick, powerful thighs, across and up to his delectable ass. He dragged her off him too soon. She hissed her displeasure. Then he was on her. Dylan kissed her until her brain fogged over, and all she felt, thought about, was him. Her. What was about to happen?
Dylan.
I've got you, Mary. Relax.
He kissed down her neck, pausing to worship her breasts. Then he angled downward, and she groaned.
Don't. You don't have to.
He pinned her to the mattress and settled between her legs. With a kiss to the top of her mound, he ran a finger across her wet slit, then plunged it in. A moan, long and loud, escaped her parted lips as she writhed upward, craving more. Deft fingers worked her as he licked and kissed around her clit. The tiny nub throbbed with need by the time he rolled it beneath his touch. Awareness sparked, imploded inward throughout her body, until she quaked and trembled beneath him. He plunged and worked his fingers into her, but she set the pace as she ground down on him.
You're so sexy riding my fingers, Mary. I can't wait to feel you gripping my cock.
He stroked her thigh, then cupped her breast.
Please, Dylan, I need you.
Come for me, sweetheart. Let me see you come undone.
Mary melted beneath his firm touch. He held her close as she came on his hand. He put her on the bed and kissed her. A slow, steadying kiss that guided her back to reality she'd spiraled away from.
So beautiful. All mine.
He nibbled down her neck.
You okay, Mary?
Dylan.
She scored his back with her nails and pulled him closer by wrapping her legs around his hips.
Please.
He loomed over her, hands braced on either side. The fiery intensity in his gaze rekindled the desire smoldering in her, like hot embers stoked after a warm, languid night. She returned his kiss and reached between them. She palmed his arousal.
Jesus, I'm 2 seconds away from losing control, sweetheart.
His growly voice boomed in a low octave filled with pain, need.
Then lose control. I want this, Dylan.
So fucking beautiful and sweet.
He feathered kisses along her face, then reached over and pulled a condom from the drawer.
The good thing about meddling brothers, one or several, dropped off enough of these to supply half the compound.
Laughter tumbled from her as he pulled out another handful. The assortment of wrappers, colors, and styles rushed heat to her cheeks.
You can't say they don't care.
You sure about this, sweetheart?
Make love to me, Dylan Mason.
She grabbed his head and pressed her forehead against his. That's an order.
Yes, ma'am.
He smiled as he rolled the condom over his thick, hard length. He kissed, nibbled, and stroked his way down and across her body another couple of times, enough to have her entire body aching and ready for him. Fingers glided across her slit.
I love how wet you are for me.
Dylan, please.
She writhed upward. His fiery heat settled between her legs. A gasp escaped her as he filled her. He kissed her until the turbulent emotions clawing her insides died beneath the desire he commanded. He caressed her cheek, fingering her hair back off her face.
Look at me, Mary.
Gazes locked. He slid deeper into her. Her body stretched as she wrapped her legs around his thighs and followed his lead. Pleasure spiraled through her as the desire building within her fanned outward, engulfing everything and everyone. No thought existed beyond the man carrying her toward whatever bliss he created.
This is what matters, Mary. You.
He whispered against her ear.
Only you.
Dylan.
The word was more a plea than a reply. Emotion clogged her throat. She held on as he surged into her, faster, as if spurred by the arcing awareness between them. She tasted the need in his kiss, felt the emotion in his eyes.
I have you, Mary. Let go.
He pumped into her deeper, harder, driving her over the edge into the explosive pleasure she'd enjoyed moments before.
Dylan!
The cry escaped her as she surrendered to the white-hot desire bursting within her. He cried out as he released moments after her. His weight pressed against her, his hot breath fell near her cheek. She relished his heated, sweaty skin against hers.
Wow,
she whispered between gasps.
That's about the only word I can manage too, sweetheart. You're amazing.
That was all you,
she replied as he flipped them over so she was settled against his side.
Be right back,
he mumbled as he moved away to dispose of the condom. Alone with her thoughts a moment, she willed the doubts crawling through her mind away. Dylan was a good man. Tonight had been wonderful. Each happy moment he gave her sliced off a hunk of the insidiousness buried in her. He kissed her and settled back into position, wrapping a sheet around them both. She sighed in contentment, too spent to offer sage wisdom or do much else except breathe.
We're questioning him tomorrow. I know this isn't the best time to bring him up, but I need to know. If you want to be there.
He ran a hand down her shoulder.
I'd stay beside you. He wouldn't see you.
I want to watch. Whatever you do, I want to watch.
Are you sure? You know how it has to end.
Death. Driggs wouldn't breathe after they were done.
I don't want you haunted by what we do to get answers.
I'm okay with him not breathing, she admitted.
You think that now, but things have a way of changing after. Memories chase you, plague you with doubts, decisions haunt you.
She swallowed back the unease. Are you hunted? He expended a weary breath.
I couldn't stare through my side and end another life. No, I stopped another heartbeat with my bullet, even if they deserved it. I couldn't kill to live, not anymore, because I was starting to forget why I bothered living at all.
Good God. Oh God.
Tears burned her eyes. She buried her head into the crook of his neck and inhaled. What horrid monsters chased him?
Trust me to handle this for you, Mary. I swear he'll pay. We'll get your answers.
I swore threefold. I have to hear why. Who?
She squeezed his arms and dragged in a watery breath.
I have to be there to get closure.
Then you will.
He pulled her closer and kissed her temple.
We need to know, sweetheart. Was he one of the ones who hurt you? Do you know?
I...
Mary swallowed back the anger and shame. I don't know.
Do you want to know who hurt you? We'll get the answers if you want it.
I want them caught, punished. I don't want to look in the faces of operatives, wondering if one of them...
She bit back the angered response. I need to know.
Then you will.
He kissed her mouth.
Don't bottle up your emotions and thoughts. Not here. This is our safety zone.
I know. It's just so raw inside me. It's hard to find words.
Was tonight too much, sweetheart? You can tell me if it was.
No.
She ran a hand along his chest, admiring the fiery dragon stretching along his side. What they did was about power. Nothing else. It was a weapon to break me. What we did tonight was so much more. It mattered.
Yeah, Mary, it mattered. No matter what goes down, remember that. You aren't alone. Never again.
He reached over and turned off the light, shrouding them in darkness. For the first time in a long while, Mary didn't mind the inky blackness swallowing the environment around her. She nestled into Dylan's arms.
I read your file.
Oh, yeah?
He asked. You were the elite of elite. Everyone wanted you on their team. Everything looked like you were poised for a career military. You'd retire only when they'd kick you out of the field.
Then I realized there are better things to live for that I wouldn't find behind a gun.
She squeezed his hand. I'm glad you got out. Came home then. You have a lot to live for.
You do too.
Yeah, she was starting to think so.
Cord texted me today, said Dylan. Looked like the cat who stole the cream this morning.
Riley waggled her eyebrows.
And someone else is pretty darn smiley today.
Heat rose in Mary's cheeks as she averted her gaze and ignored the gasps and squeals of the other women with them. They'd headed into Rosino, with strict instructions to text every 30 minutes without fail. Cord was on surveillance, using Hera to track their every second while they were in town. Dylan had spoken with his brothers and reassessed their plans. Driving into Marville was too much of a red flag for any Mason to do, and things were hot with Driggs. As much as it pained them to admit, they were stretched too thin to handle Rochelle. They'd headed into town an hour early to stop by Lady's Closet, a local clothing store run by one of Riley's friends, Vanessa Noble. The woman was the polar opposite of the outgoing blonde. Quiet and shy, she hovered near them as they perused the clothing.
"I'm not the kissing and telling kind," Mary responded.
"She's really not,"
Vi added.
"There was a lot more than kissing in that room," Addie muttered.
"How the hell would you know?"
Bree asked.
"Because I was on surveillance last night with Nolan after the party, and those cameras have wicked hearing,"
Addie chuckled.
The man laughed himself sick, then fired off texts to his brothers. "Your man's in a world of sibling hell today."
Great. To say they'd gone a bit overboard after the first round was an understatement. They'd rested a few moments, then a kiss led to a pet here and a grope there. Pretty soon, they were like two feral animals going at one another in the zoo. Her body ached, but she wouldn't trade a second of last night. She bit her lip and hoped her friends didn't push her for details. She didn't want to spoil things by oversharing or breaking Dylan's trust. Sex was a very private thing for Mary. She liked the idea of closing a door and having those special moments with someone, ones never mentioned to others. After their last time together, she'd pulled out her journal and done her homework, amused when Dylan did the same. Her body clenched, remembering the way he looked, glasses on as he scrawled in the notebook, legs crossed, chest bare, and marked up with her nibbles and fingernail indentations. Vi and Addie dragged her into the shop's one changing room as Bree, Rhea, and Riley went around the shop and hauled half the inventory to the back for her to try on, like some live dress-up doll. She grumbled and muttered her way through the first three disastrous outfits, then finally surrendered herself to the retail therapy process. It was more for them than her, anyway. They needed a pulse check of where she was. So, even though this wasn't remotely close to where she wanted to be, she'd endure for them. It was what friends did.
"We turned off the sound, by the way,"
Addie commented into the silence as she slid on a nightie.
"The moment we realized where the sound was coming from, Nolan burst out laughing, but turned the sound off."
"Thanks. I didn't know we were that loud."
"I'm glad you had fun. Seriously,"
Vi added.
"Nolan didn't text to be a dick. He rotated shifts, so Sanderson and Graves took the late night hours to give you and Dylan some privacy. He didn't want the other guys, who were supposed to be on watch, to hear."
"Wow, that was sweet."
"Dylan's the monk of the six, apparently,"
Addie said. "That's why he'll catch the shit. They've been building it up for years."
"I'm sure he caught some with Haley."
"Not even close. None of them could stand her. Those who were here, that is. Most were away on long-term missions they'd taken on. They didn't have a lot of operatives working since they were a startup."
"You staying on?"
"I know they asked you."
"Are you and Vi?"
"I go where my geeks are. They've got a sweet-as-hell setup a couple levels below ground. Their weapons and equipment armory is one level down. Then there's the holding facilities and other rooms on the second. The third was for expansion. Marshall wants to split it up, half to Bree and the other to Rhea."
"Three sublevels? How did they not know about this?"
Mary stared at Vi, shock registered her BFF's face.
"We need security down there,"
Vi said firmly. "We'll insist on touring everything, scoping it out."
"I'll probably be down there later. Dylan said I could observe Driggs's interrogation."
"You sure you're ready for that?" Addie asked.
Yeah.
She eyed the blue nighty in the mirror and smiled. Dylan would like this one. She pulled it over her head and set it in the keep pile.
I've thought about it quite a bit. I need the closure. If it's too much, Dylan will get me safe. He said he'd stay beside me.
I'm happy for you, sweetie. Addie whispered. He's a good man.
Yeah, he is. I keep waiting for the other shoe to drop, you know.
Every time I feel the happy, I wait for the bad.
It always comes. I'm so happy right now, it terrifies me because the bad's gonna be worse than ever, I'm afraid.
That's not on you. Not this time, Vi said. Let Dylan and his badass brothers handle this. They've got tons of commandos ready to go medieval on anyone who messes with you, me, or any of them.
So that means you two are staying, Addie finished.
I could handle living with hundreds of sexy, muscled bad boys with guns,
Vi commented wistfully.
You?
Yeah, though I think one's all I need.
Think we figured that one out for ourselves. Addie tossed Mary's shirt to her. Let's go. Don't say anything to Bree and Rhea about the level yet. Marshall wants another few things handled first. Then he'll show it to them. See what they say.
I told Dylan about the funds. How we finance everything. Mary admitted. I don't want to keep secrets from him. Not with everything so new.
He was okay with it? Vi asked nervously.
It's not exactly illegal, but it's definitely not in a manual of acceptable practices, you know.
The arsenal runs in multitudes of gray. I suspect he was more than okay with it. Addie said.
Yeah, more than okay. He just wants us to be careful, not siphon from someone with the smarts to track us down and put on the hurt.
Like I'd ever be that stupid.
Chapter 22. By the time they checked out the few things Mary picked out and the pile of things everyone insisted she absolutely needed, now that she had a man, they were late. The guys were expecting them back in a few minutes, and they still had barbecue to pick up. Riley rolled into Bubba's parking lot on two tires, spun into an awkward park, and motored inside. 2 minutes later, she was back and peeling out. The fit was snug with six women in the truck, but none of them minded much. The smell of barbecue and all the fixings filled the vehicle. They'd chugged along a few miles when Mary noticed how often Riley checked her mirrors.
Something wrong? She asked.
I think someone's following us.
There's only one road, Addie replied. This loops around, and I know every vehicle of every rancher and their relatives in these parts. The red truck with the massive grill isn't a regular, and was in town, across the street when we were shopping.
Fuck.
Addie's curse filled the tense cab as she yanked out her phone.
Yeah, we've got trouble incoming. A red Dodge truck is following us. Riley didn't mention until now. Spotted in town while we shopped. Cameras mounted should pull the plate if you get cord on it.
Addie's voice stopped a few beats.
Right, on it.
What's the plan?
Riley asked. Circle the loop, give us the grand tour of the Rosino farm and ranch land. Jesse and Dylan are coming from the old Burton cutout. Whatever that is.
Okay. That's 3 miles around the loop. They're hurting whoever this is. Someone is probably gonna head out of the main entry once we pass, Riley said.
Yep, that's the plan. Addie unholstered her weapon.
Bray, Rhea, you two crunch down and stay low. Vi can crunch into the passenger's seat floor. That'll leave most of the front for Mary to lie down.
Yep, that's me, just hanging out on the floor, the little one,
Vi commented sarcastically.
The trucks are armored, or whatever that stuff is that makes bullets harder to penetrate. I remember Marshall saying so.
Riley looked over at Mary.
It's okay. They aren't getting you or anyone else.
Cord mentioned a weapons cache.
Yeah, behind the seat and under the passenger seat, there are lockboxes. I don't know the codes.
Riley said, probably my birthday.
Idiots, Addie muttered. Mary and Vi pushed the seat back as far as they could, and together, they got the small compartment open. Mary dragged out a couple of handguns and more bullets than a small supply store. And grenades. Who put grenades in a truck?
Badass commandos, like her man. She chuckled and passed a few back to Addie. The woman assembled a rifle with a mean-looking scope.
Yeah.
I'm locked and loaded. Let me know when I can start the party. Invitations ready.
She commented over the phone speaker.
Roger. ETA 2 minutes. Tell Riley to slow the hell down.
Cord growled through the phone. The truck slowed a bit. Mary passed a handgun to Vi, then placed one in Riley's lap. She kept the other for herself, even though she and guns weren't fans.
Why are they following us now? They've known where we are, Bree said.
Yeah, but we have Driggs now. And the timetable's adjusted yet again. They know he'll crack and spill whatever he knows like the cockroach he is,
Addie said.
The only reason we haven't squished him yet is because he's more fun to play with when he's twitchy and pissing his own pants before we touch him.
Ringing sounded on the truck's overhead speakers. Riley clicked a button on the steering wheel.
Yeah?
Tell Mary to lie down on the seat.
It's a little squished in here,
Riley defended as Mary maneuvered herself into a crouch in the seat.
We're 6 people. Y'all should think about a bigger vehicle. Something kick-ass, though. Not one of those ugly passenger vans.
Can we maybe table buying a new ride until after my woman isn't being chased by someone?
Dylan asked sharply. Mary's heart leaped and fluttered. A couple chuckles from the back seat made her smile.
What's the plan? Riley asked.
We're coming up on you fast, from both directions. We're cutting them off and securing whoever's inside. When Jesse flashes his lights, swing the truck to the off shoulder, hard, and to the left, okay?
Check.
Jesus.
Dylan muttered.
It'll all be over soon, sweetheart. Hang tight.
Well, yeesh. I didn't even get a how are you doing? Are you okay with driving like a mad woman while we shove you off the road?
Riley smirked.
Big brother's got it bad.
Mary held her breath and peeked over the dashboard as Riley tensed and gripped the wheel tighter. Lights flashed up ahead. The truck spun, growling and groaning in protest as Riley punched the gas and headed straight across the highway, beyond the shoulder and into the bar ditch. Everyone went forward as the vehicle slammed to a stop at an awkward angle, the front about 45 degrees lower than the back. Metal crunched metal to their side. Mary crawled to the passenger's side window and peeked out as 2 black trucks slammed into the red Dodge. Gage, Fallon, and Marshall poured out of one vehicle, while Jesse and Dylan had the other one covered. Guns spewed bullets from the barely open windows of the red truck. The men rolled, maneuvering behind the doors and sides of their vehicles.
"Stay down," Addie growled as she opened her door and slid out of the truck.
Mary held her breath and continued watching as her friend crawled to where the ditch became shoulder and aimed the rifle toward the red truck. Dylan and the men drew their attention by returning fire. Addie double-tapped the glass of the driver's side, then the front windshield. Both shattered, and the men closed in, shouting and yelling as screams erupted from inside the vehicle. Fallon and Gage dragged two men from the vehicle. Blood seeped from one shoulder while another held his head. Marshall lugged another man out, but the fact he had no forehead explained why he tumbled to the ground. Bile rose in her throat, but she fought the nausea and watched as they secured the two men as a sheriff's car rolled up. Marshall went to talk with the portly man. Mary could tell the exchange wasn't going well when the guy put a hand on his gun. "Who's that?" Riley peered outside, then slumped into the seat, pale. "Ronnie Haskell, sheriff. Haley's cousin? That Ronnie Haskell?"
"Yeah."
Mary didn't like the idea of anyone related to that bitch clapping eyes on Bree and Rhea, especially given the fact bullets were just flying. She wanted them secure, not on the roadside answering questions forever. "Let's slide out from your side." Mary looked into the back seat at the other woman. "She's going to lock you in, okay? You stay hidden until this is over." Mary slid out of the truck behind Riley, who locked the vehicle. Keys in her pocket, she strolled toward the scene like it was a car accident and not a shootout.
"You okay?"
"Yeah, I'm thinking so,"
Riley mumbled and slowed her walk.
"Don't say anything. Let Dylan and them do the talking. We're just innocent witnesses who got shoved off the road."
"You okay?"
Dylan asked as he ran up to them.
"I'm not done with you, Mason. Get back over here."
"Shove it, Ronnie,"
Dylan growled. "We're okay." Mary hugged him close. "Don't let him near the truck. Bree and Rhea are hiding."
"It's okay. We'll get them secure soon."
"You want to let go of your girlfriend and answer my questions, Dylan?"
Ronnie palmed his gun as he spat chewing tobacco on the road too near Mary's foot for comfort.
"You discharged a firearm and engaged in a gunfight. I'm taking you and your brothers into custody."
"You're out of your jurisdiction, Haskell. Look around. Everything you claim happened occurred in Rosino County, not your turf. Back off."
"You Mason boys think you own Rosino County and everyone in it. You're gonna learn. One day, you're gonna see who's really in charge."
He adjusted his belt.
"I'll call this in, sit with you until the authorities show up. I'm sure they'd appreciate a neutral witness."
"You go right ahead and do that,"
Marshall said. He put a hand on Mary's back.
"You okay?"
"Yes, though I think Riley looks a bit shell-shocked. We should head back to the ranch. Do we need to hang around?"
"I'm afraid so,"
Dylan replied.
"Hang tight. This shouldn't take long."
Long turned into four grueling hours since Sheriff Jerkface called everyone and their mother to the scene. Apparently, he had jurisdiction over the neighboring county, which was a whole 10 paces to the left of the scene. Talk about excellent timing. The county coroner rolled up about the time the real county sheriff pulled up. He was in his mid-40s and graying on the side near his ears. He offered a tight smile and firm handshake to Marshall and his brothers. Each one earned a sneer from Haskell, who watched from the sidelines as the coroner went about doing whatever needed to be done. A volunteer firefighter showed and started turning vehicles around from both directions until the scene could be processed.
"Mary, this is Sheriff Patterson. He'll need to ask you a few questions. I'll be right over here if you need anything, okay?
Dylan asked.
But what the heck do I say?
This won't take long, Miss Reynolds. Then we'll get you and Riley home, okay?
Okay.
She looked around, wondering where the heck Addie skulked off to. Somehow, she'd avoided being seen by Haskell entirely.
I understand you've had some troubles. Marshall phoned the other day. Gave me a heads up that any strangers around town probably weren't wanting a welcome.
Yeah, things got a bit complicated. She shrugged. I'm assuming they were following me, but I can confirm it once we run a facial recognition scan, if you want.
Dylan mentioned Cord would be by to take photos.
Okay, good. Excellent.
There a reason the back door is open to the truck? I understand you and Riley were alone in the vehicle. Is everyone okay?
Yeah, fine. Must have opened it accidentally. I was pretty rattled.
Right. Running covert ops for the most elite operatives in the world and hacking into unhackable interfaces probably doesn't prepare someone for gunfire.
He smiled.
You're okay, Mary. The boys and I go way back. Our families go way back. When they opened the arsenal doors, I promised I'd look the other way as long as they kept Rosino safe and out of whatever rolled through the area. So far, we've been good. This is the only time I'm a bit nervous, but I've seen some strange things around town. Cameras popping up in corners of buildings and streets.
Yeah. My friend and I decided to test a new system. Rosino seemed like a perfect place.
Marville's probably better. It's a few miles down the road in Haskell's County. I'm sure the footage there would be pretty interesting from what I hear.
That's good to know.
Another hint, things weren't right in Dylan's backyard.
As I understand it, Miss Mason lost control of her vehicle and landed in the bar ditch. Unfortunately, the truck following too closely slammed into traffic, which angled into their lane to avoid hitting Miss Mason.
He grinned as he read the statement, then looked at the two large Mason trucks crunched against the red one.
Does that seem right to you?
Yes. I'm afraid I didn't see much, though. The shock and all.
Of course.
The truck's inhabitants fired at the Masons and their employees when they exited their vehicles to assess injuries and damage.
I did hear gunfire. Being armed volunteer officers and former military, all with conceal and carry licenses. They adequately defended themselves. A casualty was unfortunately the byproduct of bad decision-making on the part of the red truck inhabitants. Folks in Rosino County don't appreciate being shot at. We defend what's ours.
The fierceness in his voice calmed Mary's rattled nerves.
I'm glad to hear it, Sheriff. Thank you for your help today.
Thank you, Miss Reynolds. I'm thinking I'll be saying that quite a bit in the future.
Chapter 23. Dylan had thought he'd hit his tipping point when he'd rescued a beaten, tortured woman. Now that he'd tasted her sweetness and heard her cry his name while she fell apart in his arms, he realized he'd been nowhere close to tipping. Now he'd shifted and jetted straight into enraged. He charged past his brothers and tapped in his code. The buzzer sounded on the room.
Don't,
warned Cord.
Take a step back. Let us handle this,
Marshall said.
Those bastards followed her around town. What the hell was their play? That's what I'm going to find out.
His voice thundered through the containment observation room.
Now let me in the fucking room. We'll get the answers. All of them. First from them, then Driggs.
Jesse promised.
She can't even fucking breathe without them on her. That's no way to live. I'm not letting that keep on. Keeping her locked in our compound, chained to our property like a dog. She can finally breathe, feel life outside operations. She was in town buying lacy shit, sharing her happy with her crew, and those pricks slid past our radar and got onto her.
He turned, angered he'd let everyone convince him she was safe alone in town. The door beeped open. Vi walked in with Addie, laptop perched on her left hand. She looked at Dylan with tears in her eyes.
You've got her back for me. My Mary is back. Go, do what you've got to do. Just remember, she's waiting for you. Keep them breathing. I can cover anything else.
Vi blinked rapidly as she sat next to Cord. Finally, he'd get answers. He charged into the second holding room where they'd kept the driver.
Rick Montez, a local prick who'd gotten a $2,000 deposit in his bank this morning.
Man, you can't hold me. I've got rights.
Sit down and shut the fuck up. You've got the rights I decide to give you. Right now, I'm not feeling very giving.
He kicked the chair toward the asshole against the wall. Montez was the mouthpiece and ringleader for the other two schmucks in adjacent cells. One of them would break. But Dylan figured this one had the most intel.
Who hired you?
Man, you're crazy. I don't know what you're talking about. I was cruising with my buddy, and you and your brothers rolled up on us like you're gangsters or something. Get me my lawyer. I'm gonna sue your asses.
He laughed and looked Dylan up and down.
Yeah, I'm gonna own all this shit by the time I'm through with you.
You're so far over your head on this, you don't even realize you're a dead man walking.
Dylan waited until the man sat in the chair, then approached.
Whoever hired you didn't tell you who they were, did he?
No one hired me. I was cruising, showing off my new ride, one you crashed.
Yeah? You stop and buy a new dress for that fine little figure of yours first? You'd better pack it, because it'll probably keep you breathing. Where you're going, assuming I let you go. They like little things like you. That dress will look real sweet around your waist as you're bent over.
I'm out of here. You can't keep me.
The man rose and headed for the door. He yelped when the handle shocked him. The sizzle cut through the room. That was new. Dylan chuckled. Someone had rewired the security. Interesting.
You had a dance last night?
Yeah, so?
You remember that pretty brunette who got up in Haley's face?
The man swallowed and sat.
Yeah, you remember. She mentioned someone, a girl, who knew a thousand different ways to kill someone. She was in that truck. They both were. They'll be in here next. You won't handle them.
I was just supposed to grab the stupid bitch, okay?
He shouted.
That's all, man.
Which one? Who were you sent for?
The one from last night. Your woman.
Who hired you?
I don't know. Me and my guys have a reputation for handling problems. Word got around. We got a call from a local number. Some dude hanging out at Bubba's after the dance. I heard the jukebox in the background. You know, the way it rattles and whines.
Rick shook his head.
The dude had already deposited $2,000 in my account. I had to take the gig.
Where were you taking her?
The old Burton place. The crazy bastard had an underground tunnel system for the drug running. This dude knew all about it.
Fuck.
Dylan charged out of the room. Marshall and Jesse were on their phones. Cord was furiously pounding away on Vi's computer. Addie was looking around, confused.
"It's next door,"
Dylan said.
"The old man was whacked, built a whole network of underground tunnels. Some tap into our land. Hell, the first level of this underground facility bumps up against one. We should have thought of that."
"You're saying those crazy bastards with Driggs could bust in underneath you this entire time?
No wonder they wanted us all here. We're fish in a barrel," Addie replied.
"No one in Warrior's Path is cleared for this area,"
Jesse commented.
"Unless someone's been talking, that narrows the field down."
"Round everyone up,"
Marshall ordered. "Anyone flagged, I want them down here and contain until we get some answers." Jesse and Cord headed out.
"Time to question Driggs,"
Marshall said.
"I've got to get Mary,"
Dylan replied.
"Later. I want answers now. We could have an entire squad of men on our doorstep."
2 minutes.
"I promised she could be here."
Marshall's jaw twitched.
"Go."
A slight tremble resonated in Mary's bones, not because of something she'd witnessed or done. No, for once her hands were clean, her mind clear and her conscience unharmed by a decision she'd made to keep an operative alive. The tremble existed because Dylan's rage was her own. She fed off the agitation in his gaze, the thundering animosity in the way he prowled down the empty corridors like a fierce lion hunting prey. "Dylan."
"Not now, sweetheart. Marshall's waiting."
"Then let him." She snagged his shirt and pulled. "Talk to me."
"The guys in the truck were local, hired by direct deposit and a phone call. Vi's working the deposit. Cord and Jesse are rounding up everyone flagged for containment."
His voice was a monotone, rote reply without emotion.
"It's time to question Driggs."
Her stomach tightened. He turned and headed into the room. One with glass walls all the way down. The corridors were bulletproof glass as well. The walls, along the containment areas, were metal. Seemed thick, but that was merely a guess, since they'd spent the money on bulletproofing glass. Why cheap out on the rest? Marshall and Nolan were arguing with Dylan in the corner. Jesse approached. Hand on her shoulder, he squeezed and did a slight shake of his head. She approached the huddle.
"You can't do this, man,"
Jesse said.
"You're too close to this. It'll fuck with your head."
"He's right,"
Nolan added.
"You got out to get away from this shit."
"Stay out of it,"
Dylan warned as he looked at Marshall.
"I'm lead. I question him." "Why don't you let us have the first crack?"
Jesse suggested.
"He's mine,"
he growled. Mary's gut twisted. He'd gotten out, run from the demons haunting him. She couldn't let him take Driggs for her. "I couldn't kill to live, not anymore, because I was starting to forget why I bothered living at all." The confession haunted her. He deserved a clean soul. The blood spilled today was hers to wear, not his. "Who's questioning Driggs?" Mary asked.
"I am,"
Dylan replied. He glanced over at Vi.
"No recording."
Vi looked at her wide-eyed. "Yeah, damn. This wasn't going to end well. No matter what she did, Dylan would get pissed, but she couldn't stand back and let him. This was her responsibility, her job." Marshall, Nolan, Cord, and Jesse stood near Dylan. Dallas leaned against the door into the hallway leading to Driggs's chamber. "Al," Vi snapped her mouth shut when Mary made the cutthroat motion.
Now, this is me. Marshal, per our agreement, interrogations fall under my purview. Mine and Vi's. Isn't that correct? She summoned the voice she'd used thousands of times. She was the Edge. As long as the Arsenal has the Quillery Edge, we hold final say on data acquisition. Marshall's jaw twitched as he glanced to where Dallas was against the door. Jesse cursed and swiped a hand across his face. Dylan's body tightened as he struck her with an angered, dead-eyed stare she felt rip her insides.
You don't get to make a call here, Mary. You needed to be here for closure. I need this for closure.
You promised me you'd stay at my side. Get me through? You can't do that if you're in there.
If you can't handle watching, then leave. I'm thinking you'll be okay with what I do. You've dealt with this shit for how many years?
Dylan looked past Dallas and into the chamber holding Driggs. Mary forced her gaze to remain in the room, not on the man who'd wrecked her life. You promised me, Dylan.
Leave, Mary. Go back to our room. This won't take long.
Mary took a deep breath and sealed off the pain and fear coursing through her. Regret surged forward, followed by shock, denial, anger, and love. She loved Dylan so much, she couldn't let him do this. She'd seen operatives past the breaking point, the one where they checked their humanity at the door and walked out a tortured soul with no scruples, no morals. A cold-blooded killer, ravaged by what they'd done. She'd studied Dylan's file extensively, like she had all the others. He wasn't an interrogator. He felt too deeply to summon the cold-blooded nature required to get answers no matter what. He may have done some enhanced interrogations while in Delta, but he was a sniper. He killed from a distance, saw the target through a scope, not up close and personal. Though it shouldn't make a difference, it did. A world of difference. And he'd left because he couldn't handle the blood on his soul. He had no business in the room. None of the Masons did. She'd seen their records. If she let Dylan walk in and do what was required to get answers, neither of them would walk away unscathed. Martin Driggs wouldn't breathe after this was over. Men like him, the intel they carried, someone in the alphabet soup had likely sent the notice. Dylan as much as admitted it last night. She noted as much in Marshall's gaze, the way he wouldn't meet hers. Dylan couldn't kill Driggs, not for her. I couldn't stare through my sight and end another life. No, I stopped another heartbeat with my bullet, even if they deserved it. Mary swallowed as she repeated the words he'd whispered just last night. I couldn't kill to live, not anymore, because I was starting to forget why I bothered living at all. Dylan glared at her, rage evident in his expression.
Don't toss words I said in bed. Nothing I said there counts. Not here. This is my job.
No, Dylan, it's not. You are an operative, not an interrogator. Data acquisitions is under my purview, and you are not psychologically fit to perform the required duties. You are not handling Martin Driggs or anyone else in those cells. Mary's voice thundered through the room. Dylan backed up a step, hurt on his face. Regret punctured the ice forming around her soul, but it was too late. She'd slipped into the Edge, become what was needed to keep everyone safe, even if it meant using their own words against them. Vi, get Fallon in here.
He and Gage Sanderson are the only two I'll clear to handle enhanced interrogations of Martin Driggs and anyone else for this mission. She pulverized Marshall with a glare. Am I clear, or do I need to renegotiate our positions here?
You're crystal clear,
Dylan growled as he charged out and slammed the door.
I've got him,
Dallas said. No, I've got him. Addie ran out. Fuck. Mary took a couple deep breaths and forced the pain aside. Emotion had no place in operations, and this was a critical mission. Not because of what Driggs had done to her, but because of who he worked for. The fact he might have murdered Peter, who was everything he intended to take going to. The questions listed in her mind, but they didn't need them. The men gathered around her knew. Mary, I...
Don't.
She held up her hand and kept her gaze averted from Vi's. Please, not now. Our responsibilities as operations is clear. We protect our assets, even from themselves. Going in there would have psychologically damaged him, perhaps permanently. It's why he left Delta. I'm not a shrink, but I'm not taking the chance. Not with him or anyone else. Not when we have men who can do the job on site.
You ever stop and think that's part of the problem? You're his. It's his responsibility to protect you, get the job done. Not Sanderson's, and sure as fuck not Graves.
Marshall said,
he's not a robot. He can't turn his emotions on and off like a cold-hearted bitch.
And she could. The punch landed dead center. She closed her eyes and took the hit a few beats, then got to work. If you're done ripping me up to defend your little brother instead of leading your organization like an effective manager would, can we please get to work?
Edge, you shouldn't be here. Not without Dylan.
Jesse approached, hesitancy in his voice. Well, that was his choice. And clearly, I can't trust any of you to have his six and get this done without anyone being traumatized by it afterward.
And you won't be traumatized.
Vi shot back angrily. Talk about a fucking ironic situation. If you don't like it, get the hell out. Addie and Dylan already have. She shouted the statement, channeling what rage she could to expel it before it seared her insides. Go ahead. Get the fuck out. Leave like everyone else. I don't need anyone. Keeping promises. Helping me through.